So my son is helping me do this. I'm not that great technologically, but I have some great people that work with me. And thank you for tuning in. As I was saying, it's very cold in Chicago. We've canceled our regular Tuesday night service, and during the month of February, I usually teach and do a series on the prophetic. Coming into a new year, we activate people in the prophetic. We have prophetic ministry. We try to get all of our members prophetic ministry for the new year. And I know many of you may have already had some teaching and training in the prophetic. Maybe you're very advanced in this subject. But tonight, I'm going to lay some foundation, do some basic teaching on the prophetic, because I know there are many people that may be viewing that I have no teaching or no in-depth understanding of the prophetic ministry, or maybe what you heard is so spooky, so mystical, until it needs to be demystified. And for lack of a better term, de-spookified. We don't want to be spooky and mystical. The prophetic has been such a blessing in my life. I've been operating in the prophetic since 1989, so about 25 years now, and it has been one of the greatest blessings as I travel around the world sharing, activating, teaching in the prophetic. And we get calls and invitations from all over the country and around the world to come and teach and train on the prophetic. Many of you may live in cities and towns where there may not be very many strong prophetic churches, but there is a great move of God around the country and around the world, and the understanding of the prophetic, prophecy, corporate prophecy, personal prophecy, prophetic presbytery, prophetic worship, prophetic intercession, the ministry of the prophet, companies of prophets, prophetic teams, the different realms of prophecy is just increasing. It's amazing how many people are coming into the knowledge of the prophetic. And so I'm so encouraged. One of my visions is to see every church come into a greater understanding of the prophetic. Now, I know that many churches may never embrace the prophetic. Some may not believe in it. Some pastors may not activate and release their people to flow on the prophetic. But I am determined to minister on this subject in order to get people stirred, get them moving, because I believe it's the will of God for every believer to prophesy on some level, and that includes you. So if you have been prophesying, I want to encourage you to go deeper. If you never prophesied, I want you to stay tuned. I believe we're going to get you moving in that direction. If you've drawn away from the prophetic because of persecution or of fear, I want to get you back into it, because this ministry was designed by God to be a blessing to the nations of the world. One of the things I like to talk about in sharing on the prophetic is to begin in the Old Testament. And, of course, there are many references to prophets and prophecy in the Old Testament. But I want to begin with Moses, because we know that Moses was a prophet. And in the book of Numbers, it gives us a very interesting story of Moses complaining to God about the work of ministry being so overwhelming, until he asked God literally to kill him. And God, of course, did not answer that request, but told him, I'm going to take the spirit that's on you, and I'm going to put it on the 70 elders that you choose, and they are going to bear the burden of ministry. And so God told Moses to gather all the 70 elders that he chose. God took the spirit that was upon Moses and put it upon the 70 elders, and they all began to prophesy. To my knowledge, it's the largest number of people recorded in the Old Testament that prophesied at one time. 70 people prophesying at the same time. Two individuals that Moses selected to be a part of the 70 were not at that time in the camp. They were outside of the camp, and they also began to prophesy. And Joshua, the servant of Moses, ran to Moses and told Moses that these two individuals, Eldad and Medad, were prophesying, but they were not in the camp. And he told Moses, Moses forbid them. And Moses said something very interesting that I really believe should be the heart of every leader, every apostle, every pastor. I believe it's really the heart of God. And I want to read the scriptures to you. And if you want to follow me, just go to Numbers chapter 11, verses 25 through 29. Numbers 11, 25 through 29. I'm going to read these verses to you. It says, and the Lord came down on a cloud and spake unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. So they weren't at the tabernacle where they were supposed to be gathered, but they were in the camp. Originally I said they were outside the camp. They were in the camp, but they were not at the tabernacle. Verse 27, this is Numbers chapter 11. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? In other words, don't be jealous for my sake. Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Now, I want you to notice the words of Moses. He said, don't be jealous or envious for my sake. Speaking to Joshua, would that all of the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Now, what an amazing statement. Moses is essentially saying, Joshua, I am not trying to be the only one that prophesies. I'm not here to be defending my position as the leader. You don't have to be jealous or envious because others are prophesying. I would that all of the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And I believe that is the heart of, should be the heart of every leader, that all of God's people would be prophetic. Now, I know the scripture says prophets, and we know that everyone is not a prophet. So we're not trying to make everyone a prophet. And in some teachings we'll do, we'll study the difference between a prophet and those who prophesy. But the heart of Moses, I believe, is the heart of God, that God would put his spirit upon all of his people, and all of them would be prophets in the sense that all of them could speak on the behalf of God. Now, we know, of course, in the book of Joel, the prophecy of Joel, that Joel made an amazing prophecy that is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And if you're Pentecostal, I'm sure that you know this verse. It's in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. We know, of course, in Acts chapter 2 that took place on the day of Pentecost, and Peter quotes the prophecy of Joel in Acts 2 and 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, Joel was prophesying really what Moses desired. Moses said in the book of Numbers, hundreds of years before Joel came on the scene, he would that all of the Lord's people would be prophets, and God would put his spirit upon them. Joel begins to prophesy of the coming of the new covenant, when God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and the sons and daughters would prophesy. And of course, that verse is, that prophecy is fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Now, if you're Pentecostal, or you've been raised in a Pentecostal tradition, and you believe in being baptized in the Holy Spirit, you often, of course, believe, have been taught, that when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues. And it's based, of course, from the book of Acts. And the reason why we call ourselves Pentecostals is because on the day of Pentecost, they spake in tongues, and they were filled with the Spirit of God. And throughout the book of Acts, we find in Acts chapter 10, in Acts chapter 19, we find when people received the Holy Spirit that they spoke in tongues. However, being Pentecostal myself, having a Pentecostal background, the emphasis always, of course, was on the fact that when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you would speak in tongues, and that's what we look for. If you spoke in tongues, you were filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not here to argue about whether or not you have to have tongues to have the Holy Spirit. I know there are different teachings, and some believe that you have to speak in tongues, and some believe that you don't necessarily have to speak in tongues. I'm not here to argue about whether it's, you're Pentecostal or whether you speak in tongues. I'm simply here to show you that on the day of Pentecost, when they spoke in tongues, it's a fulfillment of a prophecy by Joel which says they shall prophesy. And yet when they spoke in tongues, it's not specifically called prophecy. Now we know in the book of 1 Corinthians, or the letter of 1 Corinthians, there is a difference between tongues and prophecy. We have the three gifts of the three vocal gifts are the gifts of speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And it makes a distinction between speaking in tongues and prophesying. It says that he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. And he encourages the Corinthians to desire to prophesy because that's speaking by inspiration in your own language and people can understand it and it can edify, build up, comfort, and exhort the church. And he said, when you speak in tongues, you speak not unto men, but unto God. And of course, if you speak in tongues to men, you should have an interpreter. So there is a difference between speaking in tongues and prophesying. Yet Joel says, in the last days or afterward, I'll pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. And in the book of Acts, Peter quotes Joel's prophecy and says, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. But yet they spoke in tongues. And so one of the ways I try to explain this is though even though technically speaking in tongues is not prophecy, I believe that speaking in tongues comes under the umbrella of prophecy. And the reason I say that is because speaking in tongues is speaking by inspiration in an unknown language or in another language unknown to the speaker. Prophecy is speaking by inspiration in your known language. And so both tongues and prophecy consists of inspired utterance, being inspired by the Holy Spirit either to speak in a language not known to you or speak in your own language, which is prophecy. But it's all prophetic. One of the definitions of prophecy or prophet is the Hebrew word nabi or naba, which means an inspired person or speak by inspiration. A prophet in the Old Testament is described as an inspired man or an inspired woman. So it's to speak or sing by inspiration. When the Spirit of God inspires you to utter words, it is prophecy. Now think about this. If you speak in tongues, you're speaking by inspiration. Often Pentecostals have limited the baptism of the Holy Spirit to speaking in tongues and often have not emphasized prophecy. And one of the things I like to do is to make this statement. I believe it's a important statement that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the doorway into the prophetic realm. And the reason I say that is because if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're already speaking by inspiration if you speak in tongues. And that means that you can also speak in your own language by inspiration. And so if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can prophesy. It doesn't make you a prophet. It doesn't even necessarily mean you have the gift of prophecy, but you can prophesy by the Spirit of God. Now, an interesting verse is about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's found in Acts chapter 19 and verse number 6. Now, again, most Pentecostals are familiar with Acts in tongues as a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. But in Acts chapter 19, Paul is ministering at Ephesus. He finds 12 disciples who only know the baptism of John. He tells them about Jesus. They accept the Lord, and then he lays hands on them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says in Acts 19 and 6, when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So here's an example of a group of people being baptized in the Holy Spirit and not only speaking with tongues, but also prophesying. So it shows us that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not limited to speaking in tongues. Now, one of the things that I have been grieved about is the fact that we have so many churches and people that call themselves Pentecostals. And I consider myself a Pentecostal, so I'm not knocking Pentecostalism. Pentecostalism has blessed my life, and there are millions of Pentecostals around the world. And it's been a tremendous move of God since the Pentecostal outpouring at Azusa Street in the early 20th century, over 100 years ago. But even though there's so many Pentecostal, even charismatic churches, the level of prophecy in many churches is very low. There's very few prophetic utterances, very few corporate prophecies, very few people that prophesy. They believe in speaking in tongues, but because somehow they've limited the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit to just speaking in tongues and not realize it is the doorway into the prophetic realm, many of them have never gone beyond speaking in tongues. But it says here in Acts chapter 19 in verse 6 that when Paul laid his hands upon them, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. There was utterance, not only in an unknown language, but also in known their known languages. They spoke by inspiration in both a known tongue and an unknown tongue. And so what that shows me is that you are a spirit-filled believer. The word of the Lord that came from the mouth of Moses, God has placed his spirit upon you. He would that all of the Lord's people were prophets or prophetic, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Well, what Moses desired in Numbers 11 came to pass in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, with the outpouring of the Spirit of God. And since that time, wherever the Spirit of God has been poured out, men and women can now speak by inspiration. God wants every believer to be able to speak by inspiration. And there are many reasons for that, because words are so powerful. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edify means to build up, exhort means to encourage, and comfort means to bring solace. And looking at the world today, there are millions of people that need edification, exhortation, and comfort through prophetic words. Words are very powerful. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Use your tongue and use your inspired utterance to speak life, to speak encouragement, to speak edification, to speak comfort in the lives of people. And I'm telling you, I've had the privilege of preaching in over 80 nations on 5 continents. And I can tell you, no matter where you go on this planet, when you begin to prophesy, people begin to be blessed. They begin to respond. They begin to weep. They begin to cry. I've seen people healed, delivered, edified, built up, released, encouraged, impartation, activation, all because of prophetic utterances that I, as a believer, and I'm not even talking about being an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. I'm talking about being a spirit-filled believer. When you learn how to flow in the prophetic realm, and when you prophesy according to the measure or proportion of your faith based on Romans chapter 12, you can be a blessing to multitudes of people. And I've seen this in my ministry in the last 25 years of ministering prophetically. I've seen it in our church. I've seen it with our teams. I've seen thousands and thousands of people blessed and lives changed and transformed by the words that flowed out of our mouth. Jesus said in John chapter 7, "He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." That represents life. And he was speaking about the Spirit of God. The ability to prophesy is the ability to release life. Remember, Ezekiel was told to prophesy. And when he prophesied, the winds began to blow in Ezekiel 37, and the dead bones began to come alive. What that shows us is that God's word is life. Jesus said, "The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Words are spiritual containers that carry the life of God. And when you begin to speak God's life-giving word prophetically, it brings life where there's been death and desolation, where there's been hurt and sickness and disease. It is amazing, the power of prophecy. And God upon all flesh, not so that only a few people prophesy. This is not just for the pastor or the leader of the church. Now, like what Moses said in Numbers 11, he said, "Envious now, not for my sake. Don't be jealous of me." And unfortunately, there's a lot of, well, how can I say this? A lot of envy, jealousy, and competition that can come into a ministry that makes one person or two people or three people be the focal point of ministry. And everyone else is kind of left out being a spectator in the church and never really activated and released to flow prophetically. But the ministry was never designed to be monopolized or never to be designed to be controlled by 1, 2, 3, or 4 people or family or a few people. God wants all of his people to prophesy. We know in Mark chapter 16, it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall take up serpents. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." And of course, the emphasis again is speaking in tongues. But when you speak in tongues, by inspiration of the Spirit of God, which means that already you're in the prophetic realm. When you pray in tongues, sing in tongues, speak in tongues, you're already in the prophetic realm because you're speaking by inspiration. The only challenge is how to begin to move in a known language, your language. How to prophesy where people can speak, where people can understand it. And to make that transition is not very difficult, because in Romans chapter 12, it says that he that prophesies, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. A lot of people, when it comes to the prophetic, they lack faith in this area. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if it's not preached or taught, then faith doesn't come to move in these realms, which is why I believe it's so important for leaders, pastors, apostles, prophets to teach on these subjects. It needs to come from the pulpit so that people can hear the word of the Lord, get faith it to prophesy. So I believe that prophecy and teaching on the prophetic is very important to build your. We did not start prophesying to a great degree in our local assembly until I, as a leader, began to teach and minister on this subject. Even though we were Pentecostal, we believed in speaking in tongues, we had an occasional prophetic utterance. It wasn't anything consistent until I decided, as a leader, that I wanted the church to move in a greater prophetic realm. And so I began to teach on this subject 25 years ago. I began to train and activate and help people move in the prophetic in a greater way, and it transformed our church. It transformed our ministry. I saw people moving in the prophetic that when they came into our ministry, they had never prophesied, had never moved in the spirit, had never given a prophetic utterance. They were just pew members, bench members, sitting there listening to sermons. I saw those same people begin to prophesy and flow, and that excites me when I see God's people moving in the prophetic. And I want to see you do this. I don't care where you're at in the world viewing this particular program. I want to encourage you and charge you and inspire you and give you the word of the Lord. But of course, whatever we do, it must be based on scripture. That's why I believe in having a great foundation in the word. Now, there's a verse that I began to preach this year. This is a brand new year, 2014, and I call it the year of the greater glory. And the Lord began to show me a verse that I preached before, but he began to show it to me in a new light, and it's found in Psalm 68 and 11. Many of you may have heard this word before, but I want to read it to you again. Psalm 68 and 11. The Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. The Lord gave the word, great was the company. So I began to preach about a great company of believers. Not a few, not a couple, but a great company of believers. When the Lord gives the word, they would publish the word. Excuse me. Now, most of people would look at this verse as far as preaching the gospel. It's applied to preaching the gospel and the prophetic realm. But I want you to know that, and as a matter of fact, even in the original language, it tells us that the word actually means a great company of women will proclaim the word. So it's really an encouragement to women to begin to preach, to prophesy. And a lot of women have gone through, been training and teaching that, they're not called to preach, or they can't preach, or they can't prophesy. Well, if a woman can't speak, why would God even say, I pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters would prophesy? I mean, the spirit of God in women is not Holy Ghost Junior. I often say that. Women don't have Holy Ghost Junior. They have the same spirit of God inside of them that men have inside of them. So women can preach, teach, prophesy, cast out devils, heal the sick. And so the original language of this verse, Psalm 68:11, is that a great company of women will publish the word. But I want to look at it this way. When the Lord gives the word, that is symbolic of releasing the, and it says a great company will publish it, which shows me that God is not interested in having one or two or three prophets or a few prophets that swing by in town every now and then to conduct a prophetic revival. No, God wants a great company of prophets and prophetic people to be raised up in our churches. And my challenge to leaders and pastors around the world is, don't raise up a few prophetic people. Raise them up by the thousands. Raise up a great company, because your nation, your city needs to hear the word of the Lord. It needs to be in the mouth of multitudes of people. And I want to encourage you to teach, to train, to activate, to get people baptized in the Holy Spirit, to lay hands on them, get them speaking in tongues and prophesying. And I'll be doing some more teaching on greater in-depth on the prophetic. But what I want to do in this time, we have some people that are having questions, and I want to try to answer some questions and kind of dialogue with you as well. So if you have some questions, I believe you can ask them on this time. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. Now, some of the questions are kind of different. How can you discern a false or true prophet? That's a common question. Let me say this about false and true prophets. It's very important to differentiate between people that are false prophets and those who just have bad prophetics. And let me explain that to you. If someone is prophesying and their prophecy is off, it doesn't necessarily mean they're a false prophet. Maybe their prophetic is bad, but it doesn't. You can't label them a false prophet. A false prophet in Scripture is someone who is wicked, deceptive, greedy, lustful, controlling, who just operates in a spirit that is wicked. And so I've seen people give prophetic utterances that were bad in the sense that they weren't doctrinally correct. They weren't clear. They may have made a mistake. And so we're to judge prophecy. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it tells us that let two or three prophets prophesy, let the other judge. So there is a judging of prophecy. One of the ways you can tell a false prophet in Scripture is they're greedy, they're lustful, they're controlling, they operate in witchcraft, they're deceptive, they use people, they abuse people. And so that's one of the ways. The Bible says a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit, and a good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit. Also, when someone is prophesying and it's incorrect, or something is not right, then you'll feel bad in your spirit about it. You just will not feel comfortable. We do have the Spirit of God in us. You'll get a check in your spirit. You won't feel comfortable about it. You'll feel grieved. That's one of the ways you can tell. Sometimes people are flowing prophetically, and you just don't feel comfortable. Nothing they're saying seems to be bad, but something in you just feels uncomfortable. It's like putting a chalkboard. It just vexes you. It bothers you. That's another way, through discernment, through not just feeling uncomfortable. We do have the Spirit of God in us, and we can flow by that as well. Okay, let me go to another. How can a ministry develop a prophetic culture that doesn't depend on just a few people operating in the prophetic? Well, that's an excellent question. One of the things, in order to develop a prophetic culture in the church, is you must first of all teach. Now, people will never come above the teaching. And if the leader is not teaching this, sometimes in churches, the church is not prophetic because the leader is not prophetic. And sometimes leaders are more teaching or more pastoral than they are prophetic. So it's important that the leader, first of all, get activated and begins to flow in the prophetic. Because if that's not the case, then what happens is you can have the prophetic in a church, but it'll be like a small auxiliary. Churches say, well, we believe in the prophetic, but the whole church is not really prophetic. It's just a small group that may have been assigned to move in the prophetic because maybe the leader is not prophetic. When a leader does become prophetic, begins to teach on the prophetic, then what he needs to begin to do is to begin to have what we call prophetic activations. And prophetic activations is either you bring someone in that knows how to help people, get them activated. We do have activation exercises that we do in our church that we've learned over the years to get people flowing into prophetic. So what I would encourage a leader to do, if a leader does not really know how to activate people, bring someone into the church that knows how to do prophetic activations and train your people how to do prophetic activations so that you don't have to depend on them the rest of your life, but you can also learn how to do this and begin to do prophetic activations or begin to have a three-day conference, a three-day teaching, a time of intense training and activation where you can do this on a consistent basis when you first begin. And that's what I would encourage. Then begin to appoint people in your church that have very strong prophetic characteristics to begin to oversee certain aspects of the prophetic prophetic activated in your worship, your singing. Bring someone that knows how to activate people in the song of the Lord, how to get them moving in that, how to encourage them and get them moving in that realm. That's how you develop a prophetic culture. We began to do this in 1989 in our church. It took us a few months, a couple of years, but finally our church really became prophetic, and it's one of the best decisions I ever made as a leader. So thank you so much for that particular question. That's one of the ones that I always try to answer. Here's the question: is there a difference between a prophet and the office of a prophet? No, they're the same thing. A prophet, a New Testament prophet, would be in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, fivefold ministry gift, 1 Corinthians 12, 28. God has set in the church first a prophet, first apostles, secondarily prophets. And so a prophet is a prophet. It's the same as an office. Now, you can prophesy and not be a prophet. You can have a gift of prophecy, or you can just flow by the Spirit of God, or have a spirit of prophecy. But prophets will have a gift of prophecy, and when they prophesy, there'll be a stronger flow because they're prophesying out of their gift or out of the office of the prophet, and there's a greater amount of authority. And, of course, prophets also do more than prophesy. They operate in dreams, visions, prayer, intercession. They preach, they teach. So there's a greater degree of anointing beyond just the simple gift of prophecy or prophesying by the Spirit of God. Okay, another question. What are some practical things I can do in order to learn how to move in the prophetic seamlessly and without no doubts? Okay, that's from my friend Tony. Good to hear from you, Tony. Yeah, if you're going to begin to move in the prophetic, you've got to get around prophetic people. I hate to say it this way, practice makes perfect. And I'm not saying we practice the prophetic, but the more you do this, the more comfortable you become. When you first start off in the prophetic, there's a hesitancy because people are afraid, if I make a mistake, is God going to judge me? Well, remember, we're under grace, and the new covenant prophet in the prophetic community is under grace. God is not mistake. But if you get around prophetic people and you get a part of a prophetic team and you flow begin to flow on a consistent basis, your flow will become stronger, your faith will become stronger, it'll be easier for you to operate. When you're not around prophetic people, or you're in a church that doesn't flow prophetically, or you just don't do this very much, sometimes people hesitate. Now, some people just flow prophetically without any activation or training. I'm not saying that you have to be activated a certain way to prophesy. Some people can just step out when they get baptized in the Holy Spirit and begin to prophesy. I'm not saying you have to go through a school or training or come to my class. Some people just tend to step out the boat and begin to do it. Others tend to hold back. They're more apprehensive. They need training. They need encouragement. So we're not putting everyone in the same level. Because I know that some people are saying this, well, I don't need anyone to help me prophesy. I prophesy by the Spirit of God. Well, God bless you. Flow in your gift. But we can always grow more, increase more. But Tony, you have to get around and stay around prophetic people because they stretch you. You get in these classes, these activations. You know how to, you have leaders that can stretch you. If you get around prophets that know how to activate and train people, like Samuel, who raised up a school of the prophets and a company of the prophets and got those people prophesying, that's the best way to begin to move and feel more comfortable and begin to flow in the prophetic without any apprehension. Okay. Here's a question. I heard it taught recently that every intercessor is a prophet, which I disagree with. I believe that every prophet is an intercessor, but not that every intercessor is a prophet. What are your thoughts? I would agree with that. I would agree. Some people just have a spirit of grace and supplication. They love prayer. Every believer should love prayer. I believe that every prophet is an intercessor, but everyone who's intercedes is not necessarily a prophet. Just like every prophet prophesies, but every person that prophesies is not a prophet. So I have no problem with that particular statement. Interesting point about the gift of prophecy. How can a man or woman of God distinguish and know someone as a gift of prophecy, although if a person can prophesy, it doesn't mean that they're prophets? Okay, again, the gift of prophecy, when people have a gift of prophecy, it's like tongues. Every one of us can speak in tongues, but there's also a gift of tongues or diverse kinds of tongues. When a person has a gift of tongues or diverse kinds of tongues, it's a different level. It's stronger. It's more diverse. When a person has the gift of prophecy and they begin to prophesy, you can pretty much discern it by how they articulate it, or how the clarity, the things that come to them that are beyond just edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's a different level. When someone has the gift of prophecy, they really, really, really move in a higher level of the prophetic than someone who prophesied by the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not saying if you prophesy by the Spirit of God, it can't be strong. I'm just saying when there's a gift of prophecy, it's more consistent, it's more articulate, it's deeper. For instance, anytime we have a prophetic presbytery in our church, we make sure that the people that are prophesying have a gift of prophecy, because we want a stronger, a more detailed, articulate flow. So everyone in our church can prophesy. We don't call everyone in when it comes to a prophetic presbytery. When we're ordaining people or releasing people in ministry, we tend to look for people who are either prophets or apostles with the gift of prophecy. And so if an apostle has the gift of prophecy, a prophet has the gift of prophecy, a teacher has the gift of prophecy, or an evangelist has the gift of prophecy, we bring those up because the prophecy is on a higher level. When you're activating people, and you begin to see the different levels of prophecy, you can pretty much tell the difference between someone who's prophesying out of the spirit of prophecy, Holy Spirit prophecy, or the gift of prophecy, or the office of the prophet. There's a greater authority, a greater strength, a greater amount of grace released through the gifting than if the gift is not there. Okay, let me see. Terry says, how to permanently overcome the Jezebel spirit as a prophet. Okay, well, Jezebel hates prophets, and Jezebel will try to kill prophets. But I believe that there are prophets that can also stand up against Jezebel. Elijah ran from Jezebel because he was tired. He felt alone. He felt isolated. And I think that one of the worst things a prophet can do is isolate himself or isolate herself like Elijah when he felt all alone. When you're around other prophets, you don't isolate yourself. You're more shielded from Jezebel's attacks because you have others to pray for you, intercede for you, cover you, minister to you. One of the worst things for prophets to do is to become rejected, isolated, fearful, running, hiding, being dejected, depressed. That is not the will of God. You also need to be around strong apostles, because apostles, the one that destroyed Jezebel was King Jehu. He's a type of an apostle. He was a king. And I'm not trying to say apostles are kings. Don't get me wrong. He was a type. But he executed Jezebel. You need to be around apostles. Apostolic ministers really have an anointing to break Jezebel's power and to confront Jezebel and to encourage prophets. So I believe prophets need apostles. Apostles need prophets. So be encouraged. Okay. Here's another question. What is the difference between the gift of prophecy and being a prophet? Okay. Again, the answer to that is that a prophet does more than prophesy. A prophet is a ministry office gift. Prophets teach, preach, prophesy, cast out devils. They carry an authority. They intercede. They counsel. It's more than just prophesying. Anyone can have a gift of prophecy. A believer, an evangelist can have a gift of prophecy. An apostle can have a gift of prophecy. A pastor can have a gift of prophecy. A teacher can have a gift of prophecy. That doesn't make them prophets, but they can prophesy with that gifting. The gift of prophecy gives you the ability to prophesy. A prophet is a fivefold ministry calling that goes beyond just prophesying, and the worst thing we can do is limit prophets to just prophecy. It's a much greater anointing. It's a greater office. It's a recognized ministry, and again, it's a fivefold ministry calling. Okay, Tony says, what is prophetic activation? Well, prophetic activation is basically activating people to prophesy. Now, how do we do this? Where we have exercises, where we teach, we cannot teach someone how to prophesy. We can teach you, though, how to hear God's voice and speak it out by faith. Sometimes it's like priming the pump. People, they hear God, but they're afraid to speak it. They can hear God saying something, or they can see something and be afraid of what they see. When we have prophetic activations in our church, we put people in groups. We pray in the spirit. We tell people, now listen. What is God saying to you? What is God showing you? when God shows you, we want you to speak that out. And speak what God shows them, or they hear the voice of God. Sometimes when they begin to speak, it becomes like a river. Sometimes when you begin to prophesy, and I prophesy to thousands of people, when a person stands before me, I may not know anything about them. When I begin, I may hear one or two words, and when I begin to speak those words, more begin to come, because we prophesy by faith. You're not going to have everything, but it's like a river. I may start out by saying, the Lord says unto you, daughter, that he's with you. And as I begin to say that, more begins to come. It begins to come like a river. So sometimes it's like priming the pump. It's like when you prime a pump and you have to prime into water, but then the water begins to flow. That's what prophetic activation is. We activate people. It's the same as activating people in healing. When you train people how to lay hands on the sick and get them moving and healing them, activate them in deliverance. When you train people how to cast out devils and move in deliverance, it's activation. It just simply means to wake up or cause that which is dormant to come alive. Okay, that is prophetic activation. All right, let's see. I've answered the difference between the prophet and the office of a prophet. That's the same thing. No, they're the same thing. I have a question here where I answer what is prophetic. Here, are the gifts of knowledge tied to the office of the prophet? That's a good question, the word of knowledge. Yeah, most prophets will operate not only in prophecy, but in word of knowledge and word of wisdom, because those are the revelatory gifts. The gifts of tongues, interpretation, and prophecy are utterance gifts. The gift of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits are the revelation gifts. Then, of course, miracles, gifts of healings, and working of miracles, faith, and gifts of healing are the power gifts. Now, prophets can work in power gifts, but they can work in revelation gifts. So often, when a prophet prophesies, within the prophecy is a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. And that's often where prediction comes in. Remember, the basic level of prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. Most believers get confused because they think that prophecy is prediction, and they try to predict something. No, prophecy can just be, fear not, I'm with you, I love you, I'm standing with you. That's a word of edification, exhortation, and comfort. There's no prediction in it. But when a prophet prophesies, often they'll begin to have things in the prophecy. Prophecy will be a vehicle through which the word of knowledge can flow. They can tell people things about, you know, the future, about the present, about the past, that no one can know other than God. That's a word of knowledge. They can give them a word of wisdom or a directive prophecy. So within the prophecy of a prophet, usually there are a word of knowledge and word of wisdom. And again, when a person just prophesies by the Spirit of God, it's often just edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, it can be more than that. God can give any believer more than that, but prophets do tend to operate more in word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and also on the power gifts of healing, miracles, and evangelists often operate in the power gifts as well. Okay, let's see here. Thanks so much for these questions. It helps me so much. I enjoy doing this. What are some ways to sharpen the gift of prophecy? Several ways. Number one, the more time you spend in the Word, the more your gift will sharpen. The Word sharpens the prophetic. Number two, if you do some spend some time fasting, it makes you much more sensitive to the Spirit of God. It makes your flow much stronger. Another way is to get around people who are very sharp in the prophetic. And when you get around people who are sharp in the prophetic, iron will sharpen iron. You'll get an impartation or a greater release when you get around people. You get more faith and more boldness when you get around others that prophesy on a greater level. I encourage people to always associate with people who are stronger than you, because that takes you to a higher level. You'll launch out into a greater depth. That's one of the ways you can sharpen your prophetic, and nothing more than doing it on a consistent basis. That's why it needs to be done in the church. When you do it on a consistent basis, it keeps your prophetic sharp. You don't become rusty and outdated. Of course, faith and boldness also are very important when it comes to the prophetic being sharpened in your life. Here's a good question. Are seers prophets? Well, in the Old Testament, was called a seer. They're the stay with the same thing, because they saw things in the spirit. So yes, you can see things and not be a prophet, but seers generally are prophets. And if you see a lot, It's a sign of a prophetic calling upon your life. There are prophets. There are different kinds of prophets. There are prophets that are more nabi. They speak with the word bubbling up out of their spirits. They're what I call natav prophets. Those when the word of God drops from heaven upon you. There are shamar prophets. Those are the prophets that guard, protect, intercessory prophets. There are singing prophets and worship prophets. And then there are seeing prophets who see a lot. Often in our praise and worship, when the Spirit of God is really moving, I'll call up the seers and say, what do you see? Sometimes they say, we see angels, we see a cloud, we see the glory, we see fire, because they're very visionary. Some people are more seeing than they are hearing. I tend to be more of a hearing prophet. I prophesy basically about what I hear in my spirit. I don't see a lot, but sometimes I do see things, but I don't consider myself to be a seer. But yes, seers and prophets, according to the Old Testament, are the same thing. The word seer is not mentioned in the Old Testament, but it's an old way of saying a prophet. Okay? Let's see here. What if you know you're called to be a prophet and your local church does not allow you to be used, what do you do not to get frustrated? Well, it's very hard to get frustrated if you're prophetic in a non-prophetic church. The only thing you can do is find some people, even if you don't leave your church, find a church in your area, a prophetic company that you can hang around or go to some prophetic services to keep encouraged. Because sometimes, you know, in churches, there's no place. Doesn't mean it's a bad church. It doesn't mean it's hopeless. But you can become very discouraged. But you need to find, if you have to travel somewhere, go to a prophetic conference, get around prophetic people, read prophetic books. You need to be in that prophetic atmosphere in order to stay encouraged. And I hope, unfortunately, sometimes people have to, because they don't, they'll die. They have to find a prophetic church or an apostolic church where there's someone that can help encourage them and stir them up. And even though they may not want to leave a church, they may have to leave in order to walk in their destiny. I'd rather leave and go somewhere and be sharpened than to stay somewhere and die. You know, don't die with your gifting and your calling. It's too important. Don't become bitter, angry, and critical of your church. Love your church. Pray for your church, because many times pastors just don't operate in the prophetic. Doesn't mean they're not good teachers or good pastors. It's just that maybe the church is not walking in that particular realm. And God wants you to understand that he wants you to flow prophetically. Okay, how do you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost if you tried everything and just don't get it? Well, what I would encourage you to do is to get the small booklet by Kenneth Hagin on Why Tongues and the other small book called The Bible Way to Receive the Holy Spirit. They're small booklets. Read those booklets. It'll cause your faith to grow so you can receive the Holy Spirit. You can receive the Holy Spirit by faith. Sometimes we doubt and we struggle in this area, but if you get those books by Kenneth Hagin, Why Tongues and The Bible Way to Receive the Holy Spirit, and read them and study them, it'll help you. I've seen many people get baptized in the Holy Spirit just by reading those books, or get with someone who's anointed in this area. There are some people, when they lay hands on people, they have an anointing to get people baptized in the Holy Spirit. That also is of great assistance for people who want to receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to... here's a good one. What are the misconceptions about prophetic ministry? There are a lot of them. One misconception is only a few people can prophesy. One is that there are no prophets today. One is that if you're not a prophet, you can't prophesy. Another is if you prophesy, you must be a prophet. Another is that if you only have the gift of prophecy, can you prophesy? Another misconception is if you give off prophecy, you're a false prophet. Another misconception is that you don't need to judge prophecy. So there are a lot of misconceptions that we need to challenge. And hopefully this teaching would clear up some of the misconceptions. Another misconception, you got to be spooky or spiritual to prophesy, or weird, or flaky, or deep. Or you have to predict the future to prophesy. No, prophecy, the basic level, 1 Corinthians 14, is edification, exhortation, and comfort. Okay, I want to pray, and there are a lot of questions here. I don't have time to answer, but I want to thank you so much. I enjoyed this. I love ministering to people. I'm going to do it again. I want to hear your feedback, though. And also, if you want to learn more about prophecy, I want to encourage you to get my book, God Still Speaks, and This book has a lot of teaching on prophecy. If you've never ordered it, get it. You can go to my website at johneckhartministries.com and order the book, or you can get it on christianbook.com, amazon.com. But it's called God Still Speaks. It's a study of the prophetic. It talks about corporate prophecy, personal prophecy, prophetic churches. It covers the greater realm of prophecy much more than I could ever in this particular time share with you. But just go to my website again. That's www.johneckhartministries.com. Also, if you want to sow into what we're doing here in Crusaders Church in Chicago, hopefully we'll be live streaming soon to go around the country. There's so many people that contact us saying, we'd love to see your services, prophetic worship, prophecy, preaching, teaching, deliverance. And you can go to my website, our church website at crusaderschurch.org. And if you want to donate and bless our ministry, I would really appreciate that. If you want to sow something into what we're doing, we're touching nations, we're going to the world. This year I'll be going to different nations. I'm going back to Holland. I'm going to Mexico. I'm going to Colombia. I'm scheduled to go to Asia. I'm going back to South Africa. And so I'm excited about these different nations that God has opened us up to. And you can go to www.crusaderschurch.org and make a donation into our ministry. I want to pray for you, and I want to prophesy to you today. I want to stir up the gift of God and prophesy over your life for those who are watching. And Father, I thank you for those that are watching, Lord, and those who have a heart for the prophetic, and those who tuned in to be stirred and to be challenged and to have understanding and revelation. Father, I believe that everyone that tuned in, you sent them to this time. And Lord, that what I shared will be a blessing to them. And Father, I pray now that they, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, would desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. I pray that you'll have a desire to prophesy. And I come against every religious spirit of tradition, witchcraft, Jezebel, fear, doubt, unbelief that has fought you and hindered you in this area and said you cannot do it. And I release the spirit of prophecy to begin to flow in your life. And the Lord says, sons and daughters, I've come even to pour a fresh anointing upon your life, and I come in this new year to do a new thing in the midst of my people, and I come to break you into a new realm, and a new door is open to the prophetic realm for those who are willing to walk in. And the Lord says, do not draw back and do not be afraid, for these are great days ahead for you, and many of my sons and daughters shall come to another level of prophecy, and I'll cause my word to come in your mouth, and you shall speak by the Spirit of God, and you'll see breakthroughs and miracles and changes and healing and deliverance that shall be released because of the prophetic word that I shall begin to stir up inside of you. And the Lord said, I'm stirring you up, but you must also stir yourself up. And the Lord said, even those who rise up in faith, I'm calling you out of the boat, and you're going to walk on the water. For many have been in the boat, they've been afraid, but now I'm calling you out of the boat, and you shall walk and do what you've never done before, and you shall speak my word. And the Lord said, it shall not be complicated, it will not be mystical, it will not be spooky, but I'll teach you how to flow by the Spirit of God and speak into the lives of those who are hurting and wounded and bruised. And I'm causing the water level of the prophetic to rise in the churches across the world and across this land. I'm raising up the Samuels and the fathers that are trained, the sons and the daughters to flow. And I'm causing schools of prophets and even places like Rhema, the place of Samuel, to have a spirit of prophecy and the glory of God to rest in that place. And I'm causing churches to begin to shift and to transition into a new wave of the prophetic. And I'm causing prophetic worship to once again be discovered and even rediscovered. And men shall once again and women shall once again sing the song of the Lord. And I'm causing prophetic intercessors to begin to pray prophetically, and prophetic counselors to rise up and counsel prophetically. And I'm calling the seers and the visionaries and even the prophets to come forth out of their caves, says the Lord, for many have been hiding in the caves. And I'm breaking the intimidation and the witchcraft and the fear of Jezebel that made them hide. But oh, you shall no longer hide in the cave, but you shall come out of that place, and you shall once again stand, and you shall once again declare and speak my word, and not be afraid to release that which I placed in your belly. So the Lord said, do not be afraid, but know this is a new day and a new season for my prophets and for prophetic people. And I'll bring you forth and I'll teach you and I'll train you and I'll put you in the school of the spirit and in the school of the prophetic. And I'll teach you my ways and I'll walk in my power and my glory and I'll demonstrate my words, says the Lord. And I'll cause your words to bring great blessing. But it'll also be like it was in the days of Jeremiah, when I shall cause my word to come in your mouth, to root out, to tear down, to throw down, to build, to destroy, and to plant. Yes, I'll give you authority and power in the prophetic to move and to shift into a new realm of speaking for me and being my mouthpiece. For truly the word of the Lord comes saying, oh, the I give the word, but great shall be the company of those that proclaim it. For I'm raising up a great company, saith God, across the earth. I'm raising up a new generation of prophetic people, and they'll not be bound by the religion and the tradition and the control of the past. But oh, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there'll be new liberty and new freedom, and new glory shall rest upon your life and upon your tongue, and you shall speak my word, and you'll be my mouth in the earth, and you'll be my voice in the earth, and your words shall penetrate and break and even throw down, but also bless and impart and activate and release people into their destiny. So the Lord said, be encouraged, my sons and daughters, for this is a new day and a new season for my prophets and my prophetic people and my prophetic churches and my prophetic schools. For this is the hour of the release of the prophetic on a level you've never seen before. So get ready, for my word comes to quicken, activate, and to stir you up and to cause you to shift into a new position of power and authority. And so, Father, I bless everyone, Lord, that is tuning in, Lord, to this particular broadcast, Father. And I pray for your grace and anointing and your power and your strength to rest upon them fresh, Father. And I thank you for doing a new thing and even greater anointing, faith, and power to rest upon their life in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Well, I trust that you enjoyed this time. I enjoyed doing it. I want to do it again. So let me know what you think. Go to my Facebook page or go to my website and put down on my page. I have two pages, my Apostle John Eckhart on Facebook. And if you go to the one where I have the pink shirt on, that's the one I really promote. I have another one that has more people on it. And let me know what you think about it. And don't forget to go on my website and order this book, God Still Speaks, and read it, www.johneckhartministries.com. And if you want to donate and bless our ministry, go to crusaderschurch.org and sow a seed. I really appreciate it. And again, let me know what you think. And until I speak to you again, as I always say, may God bless you and keep you is my prayer.